Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I have two Bibles, two pages of notes, and a financial report, but don't worry, it won't take long, all right? So don't panic. We're going to talk today about the blessing of giving. And when we began to agree to set this Sunday not only for year-end giving, but to designate it to our building project, I was given by Emmeline a wonderful scripture from 1 Chronicles, from actually the words of David at the dedication of that temple that would be built by Solomon and is called Solomon's Temple. But I'm saving that text for a little later in the service to be a part of the celebration of giving. I want to give you a brief history of this event. The setting is David's collection for the building of the temple, which will be built by Solomon. David had been a man of war, and now peace was coming to the kingdom, and during that peaceful time, Solomon would be given the opportunity, the privilege, and the calling of overseeing the building of the temple. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that David, thinking generations down, which is a reminder to us, the things we do, we don't just do for ourselves. Whether it's this building project or other things that we do in life, if we look at it carefully, it will have an effect on those who follow us. And we should do those things that leave a hope, a future, a foundation for those who will follow. So King David is looking out for his son, Solomon. And I want to set this by reading from the Living Bible, and you'll just have to listen because I didn't plan ahead to get this version on the screen. But if you'll listen, this will give you the setting. This is the way, if I were going to tell it, I would have to do my best, and the way that the authors of the New Living Bible have put this is much better. So listen, this is the setting. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, "My son Solomon, whom God has chosen to be the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced, and the work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not just another building. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building it. Enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of God, I am giving all of my own private resources to aid in the construction. This, in addition to the building materials I have already collected." Now, this next bit blows me away. "These personal contributions consist of $85 million worth of gold and $20 million worth of purest silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the building. This will be used for the articles made of gold and silver and for the artistic decorations. Now then, who will follow my example? who will give himself and all that he has to the Lord. Then the clan leaders and heads of the tribes and army officers and the administrative officers of the king pledged $145 million in gold, 50,000 in foreign currency, 30 million in silver, 800 tons of bronze, and 4,600 tons of iron. They also contributed great amounts of jewelry, which were deposited at the temple treasury. Everyone was excited and happy for this opportunity of service, and King David was moved with deep joy. I read that to you because it conveys the sense of celebration that should accompany giving. We sometimes get the wrong impression about giving, maybe because folks have an idea that you've heard the phrase, that's all churches talk about. Somebody went to church once and they were preaching on money and they said that's all they're concerned about. We need to put this in its proper perspective. And because of that impression that that's all people talk about, and because we don't believe that people ought to be coerced or forced in any way to have to give, years ago, providentially, and maybe not by our own wisdom, and even before my time, it was decided that there'd just be a box in the back. And how appropriate for us that it was a cigar humidor. So there's nothing real fancy about it. It's a modified humidor. But it has served us well. And God has blessed this church financially without making a big deal. So now we're into a building project, which is needed. Thinking of future generations. I jokingly told folks when they say, what are you doing? I will tell them, well, we're building an addition so that we have ground level entrance for those of us who need it and restrooms on the same floor so we don't have to go up and down steps. Because 40 years ago when we, or 35 years ago when we built this building, we didn't think any of us would ever get old. But time passes and things change. And so we're doing this. And we believe God will bless it. And so all of this fits into today's celebration of giving. As we think about the cost, it was decided that this last Sunday, this fifth Sunday, we just donate all of it to the building fund, all of your giving, because we've been blessed. And then it was suggested that with just a little bit of faith, every fifth Sunday we could just take it for the building fund because God has been blessing. So I just, before we enter into the process of giving, I just want to say a little bit about the principles of giving. There are many, many. We read some here from King David and his attitude. As I look through the scriptures just for a few, I'm reminded in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus, as he observed some of the religious leaders actually having someone go down the street in front of them to blow a trumpet to get the attention of the people, so that they would see these very hypocritical religious leaders dropping their money into the alms box. So they would call an attention to themselves literally by blowing a trumpet. So Jesus said, don't be blowing a trumpet. It's kind of a phrase that we use today. Don't toot your own horn. Who wants to make a big deal if our attitude is right? So he teaches us our giving is not to be done to be seen of men. The footnote on that is that whatever good we do good to please God. Another principle of giving is seen late in Jesus' ministry as he was in the temple courtyard in Jerusalem just prior to his crucifixion, and he was perhaps standing aside, or maybe he'd found a place to be seated, and he watched the people as they came through and gave their offering. And he could tell from the way that many of these folks were dressed that they were wealthy and plenty of goods in their possession. And they would drop their offering into the offering box. And then as he watched, he saw this poor widow. And I'm sure by her very demeanor, her look, and her dress, it was easy to recognize a widow in those days. And so Jesus saw her, and she dropped two pennies in the offering box. And Jesus used that as an opportunity to teach the disciples. He said, do you know that dear widow gave more than all the rest of these folks that you've been watching give? Jesus said in our vernacular, they sort of gave a little tip off of their fat. But she gave literally everything she had. And so what lessons do we learn from that? Well, I think the major lesson that we learn that it's a matter of the heart when we give, and there is something to be said for sacrificial giving instead of just kind of giving God a tip. I was always amused at Wayne Smith, who was a master of humor. He said, you know, he said, I'm going to start preaching that people need to tip instead of tithe because the tip has now gone up to be appropriate 20%. But whatever the means of looking at that, it isn't really the amount. It isn't some legalistic formula. It's a matter of giving from the heart, and sometimes that needs to be a sacrificial gift. I can't help but insert here the fact that a sacrificial gift is something that you personally decide, but also it's a matter of accepting the fact that you've always heard you can't outgive God. I have talked to some financial people who are believers, one of them being an engineer and a really good investor. He said, you can't explain the principle of tithing in this case because anyone who practices it has never lacked for what they need. And he said, it really doesn't make sense economically. I guess I'm convinced that God has an economy that's different from our way of doing economics, and that would be just like God, because he's greater than all the systems that this world has devised. And so it's a matter of giving really from the heart. In 2 Corinthians, that very famous passage where Paul's talking about the giving, he tells us these things. He talks about sowing sparingly and sowing bountifully. And he just says it's just like the law of nature. If you just sow a little bit, you're not going to get a big crop. The more seed you sow, the bigger your crop. Let me hasten to add here that I think there are people who have actually taught if you really want to be blessed, you give. And they teach that with the wrong emphasis. It's about if you really want to get ahead. Are you following me? That really it's about for you. If you want to be wealthy and prosperous and have a lot, you just sow and you'll get it back. Folks, that's not what that principle is all about. You will get it back, but I'm not sure that it's always in dollars and cents. Amen. I think sometimes it's in unexpected blessings in unexpected ways. Some folks who have learned to give bountifully have learned to be free from the prison of being controlled by money. Folks worry about that. We all do. We, at some time or another, we've been in a place where we've had to worry about that. But God has always been faithful. So that sowing has to do with expecting God to meet all of our needs. And quite often, he blesses us in abundance beyond that. I think the fear in giving sometimes is that God can't do what he said he would do. We're afraid that if we really take that risk, we might go hungry or we might miss the mortgage payment. Now, you be your own judge. And that is the next principle that's in 2 Corinthians. And it's captured in the verse that I quoted in the bulletin where it says from the Living Bible, everyone must make up his own mind as to how much to give. Don't force anyone. And by force, I'm not talking about at gunpoint. I think it includes don't force anyone by your preaching, by your teaching, by your subtle little hints, by any act of manipulation, or any kind of thing that somehow forces people to feel compelled to give. Don't force them. Make it abundantly clear that every person who gives to God should give as he or she has decided in their own heart. For cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. Because God knows that when we give cheerfully, it is an admission of our trust in him. And then there's that wonderful little verse that's hidden in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders, and he pulls this quote that you find nowhere in the Gospels, not verbatim, which goes to prove what John said, many other things Jesus did and said, which are not written in this book. But the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders, said, "Now remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, we have a hard time with that concept. I mean, I'm really blessed when I get a gift. But there's an inherent blessing in giving. You know, I was kind of surprised sometimes where wise sayings come from. And I was watching basketball a week ago, and they just before Christmas, they were interviewing all these different coaches. Football coaches and basketball coaches. I think they're all basketball coaches. And it's kind of funny. One of the coaches said, "Well, my favorite thing, it just get me socks and underwear. That's all I want." But the really funny one came from Bruce Pearl. Not funny, but profound. Bruce Pearl, coach at Auburn University. Bruce Pearl said, "You know, I actually love giving more than I do receiving." I mean, he might as well have been quoting. He said, "I love giving more than I do receiving." Probably anywhere except on the basketball court. But anyhow, these thoughts are for us. It's more blessed to give. So now I want to just kind of tell you where we stand in this whole thing. And we're going to receive the offering. We're going to read the text here in a minute. But So this is kind of put together both a sermon and informative. In our building fund from January the 1st of 2016 through up until today, we've had $56,000, I'm going to round these figures, we've had $56,600 given to this building fund. We had spent to date about $30,850, which means, according to my trusty treasurer, that we have approximately $25,500 still unspent. And as you look out, you can see, despite all the rain and the weather delays, our foundation is laid and the lumber for the framing is here, and these things are all paid for to date. Everything to date has been paid for. So obviously for us, the more that we're blessed through giving, the less money we'd have to borrow, and we hope to borrow as little as is necessary and for as short a period as necessary. This also culminates with year-end giving. So, Robbie, would you look on my desk and get the offering box that I hid so nobody could give their money too soon? I'm going to do something so you'll fully understand. King David said, "I'm not going to ask you folks to give for this temple without first giving myself. I'm not giving $80 million or anywhere close to that. But I'm going to drop mine in And then, Robbie, if you take this back there where it always is so folks are familiar. And I'm going to ask Mike, can you come and play for us? Now, we're going to use this time to give and to fellowship and to celebrate. So everybody, please stand up. Now, here's what we also want to do. That's why we want to be fellowshipping with one another. We want to visit, because I don't want myself or anyone else looking around to see who goes and gives and maybe guessing what they might give. Everyone's supposed to give what they want to, right? We don't want to let our left hand know what the right hand is doing. So, Mike, what are you going to play? You don't know yet? Who wants to pick a song that to be played while we're... Everybody's got quiet. When Peace Like a River? All right, thank you, Sarah, for being a person to select. That's very appropriate, because if you give and it's well with your soul, that's a good thing. So just greet one another. If you want to go to the offering box, if you have... And I'm telling you, those two pennies that lady gave Jesus blessed, right? So let's mingle with one another here and do our thing of giving. So I don't know how to keep people from not paying attention to one another. They don't know how to act when we change things, right?
Coming down.
Okay. Okay. Well, you couldn't wait. Now here you stand. No,
it's alive.
Yeah. I don't think you did. Well, I hope this was an appropriate way that everybody got. Yeah, I heard that you got blessed. Thank you, guys. Marching in, Lord, I want.
Regular community prayer group is going to be here.
The 12th, yes. And I should have. I think that's on the. Yeah, I
see Seeks Stand Prayer Group at your church.
Yes, you're right. I meant to announce that. Yeah. I'll do that today, so because it'll be a week from this coming Saturday. It was 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yeah. December
20th
instead of January.
I'll tell you. No, because it was, she got the bulletin and the calendar together to this funeral.
Yeah. I
don't know. I guess I get nervous. All right. If you'll be seated, our wrap up will kind of happen here in just the next 5 or 10 minutes. But one of the things that I thought you might be excited to do was to get a report in round figures. So our very faithful and industrious treasurer is going to do a quick count. And our last part of celebrating today will be celebrating what the Lord has blessed us with today. Plus, we're going to get to, so the worship team can be ready, because we're going to do a little more worship. So Mike and Rock and all you guys, Robbie and Caleb, y'all just stay put for just a moment. So the scripture that Emmeline gave me that I want to read at this time is so marvelous from this same time in David's life. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 20. And you'll be able to follow. Just notice the blessing in this. And the blessing is blessing the Lord. That seems a little awkward sometimes, doesn't it? That we bless the Lord. Did you ever thought about that very much? Lord, bless us, bless this person. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We just bless the Lord sometimes by ascribing to Him the kinds of things that David ascribes to Him. It recognizes who God is, God Almighty, and who we are. And so David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers, bowed their heads, and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. You know, that day was a day of celebration. And David said, keep this in their hearts going forward. Let me just ask you, is it not so much more pleasant and wonderful if we can go away from this service rejoicing? If the folks who leave here today said, you know, this was a celebration and it was great to give to the Lord. I hope that none of us go away saying, well, I hope we don't ever have to hear about that again, or I don't like it when they talk about money, or I don't like it when they are preaching about giving or doing all of that. And I also hope nobody goes away from here saying, well, I feel guilty. I didn't give enough. Or I w- none of that should ever accompany the celebration of giving. Amen. It's just a joy. You know, I thought about what Colleen and I should give. We just talked about that, and it could have been more, it could have been less. I feel good about it. I don't have to tell anybody what it is. You don't have to tell anybody what it is. It should always just be in line with those principles that are laid down so clearly in the Bible. Why are those things laid down so clearly in the Bible? Because they're for our good. God never expects our service to Him to be a drudgery or a chore. Now, we're servants, we're disciplined, there are sacrifices that have to be made. But you know, early in my life, I had an opportunity to go do something. It has nothing to do with money. But I was offered an opportunity to go and fill a position that I was really excited at that time in my life to go fill. And I was talking to someone about it. And I said, I'm so excited about this that it makes me wonder if it's really in God's will. And the person said to me, whatever gave you the idea that doing what God wants you to do would be unpleasant or a chore? You see, that's the principle of God. Now, there are sacrifices sometimes, but folks, I want to tell you, people who are serving on the mission field in dark, uncomfortable places, if their heart's really in what God, there's a joy there that you can't imagine. Because that's their calling. What God calls each of us to do and what He calls each of us to be brings with it a sense of joy. As I said, there can be a sacrifice. We might have to wrestle sometimes with what God really wants us to do, but serving God is a joy. It's a blessing. So David said to the people, "Bless the Lord." Now they had been standing all day, and so when he said, "Join with me and bless the Lord of God," they prostrated themselves. Now, you all been sitting, so we're going to stand up and bless the Lord our God. I have the worship team come. We may sing this till Debbie gets back, but for a while, because I don't think it'll take her too awfully long. But I want you to sing it, realizing you're singing exactly the spirit that was with David and those people long, long ago. This is so simple, but it's so wonderful.
Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted, which is exalted above all blessings and praise.
Amen, amen. Well, we came up just a little short of 84 million, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for $6,703 to add to our building fund today. So we rejoice and we praise the Lord, and that is a celebration. Thank you for sharing in this special celebration of giving to the Lord and for His work. If anybody has any need for prayer as we close today, we will be here to pray with you, whatever might be on your heart. I would make one note by way of announcement. The January 12th community prayer that's in the bulletin, that's right here at Community Church. We're hosting it that month at 8 a.m. That's 2 weeks from yesterday. And then just one brief month change. The Willows is January 20th. We still kind of got stuck in December, but I think everybody knows that. So pay attention to those upcoming events. Don't forget, this Wednesday night, we resume our study in Revelation. Excuse me. Don't forget to come for prayer if you need it this morning. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed, and thank you so much for sharing in this wonderful day today.